at the time is 6 a.m.
This is CKUW 95.9 FM, streaming at ckuw.ca. We hope you've enjoyed listening to us, and stay tuned. CKUW is managed by the Winnipeg Campus Community Radio Society in accordance with CRTC and Industry Canada rules and regulations. As a not-for-profit radio station, CKUW is a member of the National Campus Community Radio Association and adheres to their statement of principles to provide an alternative voice. CKUW operates on a frequency of 95.9 MHz on the FM band with 450 watts effective radiated power, or ERP. Our transmitter is located at 7 Evergreen Place in Osborne Village. Programming originates from our downtown studios at the University of Winnipeg in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. We would like to hear from you and welcome your ideas to improve listening, which will be heard on CKUW in years to come. Address your comments and suggestions to CKUW 95.9 FM, Room 4CM11, 515 Portage Avenue, Winnipeg, Manitoba, R3B2E9. You can call 204-786-9782 or email us at ckuw@uwinnipeg.ca. This is Victoria King speaking for the Board of Directors, staff, and volunteers of CKUW 95.9 FM. Thank you for listening and stay tuned for more great community radio.
This is CKUW 95.9 FM. We're broadcasting from Winnipeg, Manitoba, on occupied Anishinaabe Aking, the homeland of the Métis and the historical territory of the Nahiyawak and the Nakota.
Good morning, friends. I'm Rod Robinson.
And I'm Carol McKibben.
We are the Saturday Morning Show. We're here for you. Here for you live for the next 2 hours, 6 to 8. And then it's Green Planet Monitor. Mud Puddle Radio at 9. This half hour, Carol on the roof. Hot enough to boil a monkey.
Man, but, I don't know if I want to go back out there.
Right. We'll see if we can send
maybe
a...
Maybe it'll be breezy up there.
Let's do it. We'll do it by AI. Apparently that's the way everybody's doing it. Everybody's doing it.
Sure.
And as well... Oh, of course, advice from Mary as well. We've got the sports for you as well. And Carol will give you the weather in just a minute or two. Well, say no more, say no more. Promise. What does Robert Service say? Now, a promise made is a debt unpaid. And
right.
The trail has its own stern code. Carol McKibben, what is
yes.
the weather?
Well... The very first thing I see on the screen is there's a severe thunderstorm watch. In the rest of it, it just says 30% chance of showers. But it's currently 23 degrees. We thought normally if it was 23 degrees and it was like 3 in the afternoon, we'd think, oh, this is a nice hot day for the summer. But boy, oh boy,
yep.
It's getting hotter. The barometric pressure, 101 and rising. So, don't know. That sounds like no thunderstorm to me, but we'll see. Humidity, 84%. Wind coming from the south-southwest at just 2. Humidex is 30. It's going to be mainly cloudy today. 30% chance of showers and risk of a thunderstorm.
I'll say.
Yep. Wind coming from the northwest at 20 near noon and a high of 27. The humidex, 31. UV index is 7. That's high. But I don't think very many people want to be out for very long anyways. If you are, cover up, wear sunglasses, cool off,
hydrate.
Drink water.
Hydrate.
Yeah.
Quick look at sports for you then. Football in the CFL. Calgary came to Winnipeg last night. Well, as the Free Press says, it was a barn burner.
Right.
Absolutely, with our quarterback, Zach Collaros, back. Nail biters, how I would say. It was up and down the field. Unfortunately, once or twice, they would score a touchdown, and we answered with a field goal. However, Mr. Castillo kicking them from 57 yards again, which took the wind out of their sails. And our man, it's in the Free Press today. Number 47, Tanner Cadwallader.
Excellent.
Our man, Tanner Cadwallader.
Yes, they named him several times on TV
last
night.
We saw him at work, and he blocked a punt.
Yes.
Which helped a great deal as well, just from his regular duties as well, mind you.
Yes.
So, well done, boys, because I forgot to tell you, Winnipeg won. We won. 41-37. Value for money. We were there right to the bitter end. It was good. You can hear my voice. I'm fighting a cold, but as our friend Rita Kurz would say, it's not British to talk about it.
Okay.
So moving on then to sports and baseball. The Major League Toronto Blue Jays played the Arizona Diamondbacks last night. Jays lost 5-4. That's very bizarre. I've checked this out once or twice, but it's from the same location. Claims that the Toronto is doing the same, playing the same team again tonight at 9:10 at night. And you go, I don't think so. You might want to try and look further for yourself.
Odd.
Because Sunday, of course, it's at 3:10, and so it occurred to me possibly look it up for yourself. American Association, with big gold eyes, took on the Sioux Falls Canaries last night. They are the division leader, and the Fish gave them a good thumping, 9-4. Well done, Fish.
Excellent. Well done, boys.
Same again today at 5:30, Sunday at 1. And as you say, you can actually watch that on your computer much easier
this
year.
You can, yes. You probably can from anywhere in the world, but I'm not positive about that. But if you go to American Association Live Stream,
right,
you click on Start Watch. You have to wait until the game's actually started. And then you have to find, click along until you get the correct game. There's several games on at the same time.
As well, you can choose whether you want their announcer or ours.
That's true.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Soccer, UEFA, European Championship, Spain versus England. Sunday, I've got 2 p.m. here. I've yet to check that in the TV guide to see if that's 2 p.m. our time, you see.
Right.
Always wonder. Baseball. No, make it basketball. Winnipeg Sea Bears are at home to face the Vancouver Bandits tonight, 7:30. And, of course, yes, Canada meets Uruguay in the COPAM Consolation Final. That's tonight at 7 o'clock. It is 7 minutes after 6 as we turn to Dancing and Romancing in the 40s. So this morning, little Guy Lombardo and his Royal Canadians. Nice to see that Winnipeg Blue Bombers are back to their old form, something we always hope for. Always.
Huh.
Just a year, but always.
Lombardo and his Royal Canadians. Absolutely, yes. From Dancing and Romancing, the 1940s. So I'm looking at Little Wright that came with that, of course. I'll Be Loving You, Mona. Well, yes, or almost. One Day in the Early 20s. Irving Berlin did a friend a favor. Arthur Johnson, his musical secretary, had dropped by with his girlfriend du jour, whose name was Mona. Mr. Berlin, she warbled, could you write a song about me sometime? Never wanted to duck a dare. Berlin shot back, why sometime? Why not now? And dashed off this little charming waltz.
Wow.
Johnson taking it down. Fast forward to 1925. Berlin finds the scribble sheet, likes what he sees. By now, Mona's history, replaced in Johnson's mercurial affections by Maud, Claude, Clara, Susie, Blanche, Belle, and heaven knows who else. Berlin, ever the pragmatist, changes the title and shazam, a standard is born.
Wow.
From Dancing and Romance.
Lovely, lovely little tune to just dash off.
Yes. Well, that finishes that side, but not to fret. We have the other side of that cassette to come back to next week.
Okie dokie.
As I turn to, age doesn't matter unless you're a cheese. Something to ponder. So those of you who are just heading home from work, or those of you who are just getting up. Well,
there seem to be a lot of people out wandering the streets this morning.
Well, there's a club that closed, and they're still, they always come out the back door.
They come out the back, and then they were out the front as well.
A coffee shop. It's, yes, it was two Black Cat morning, by the
yes,
way.
Yes, that's right.
And then not until we got here, the University of Winnipeg was at a two bunny morning.
Well, I'm not sure if they're bunnies or hares. They should be rabbits, I would think. They were pretty tiny, though.
Well, that was the one we saw the other day on Thursday.
One of them, but they were both small.
Yeah, but he was tiny, tiny.
Yes, but they
not
were both
even a mouthful,
this morning. Yeah.
Yes. As I turn to, age doesn't matter unless you're a cheese. So today's a little bit of wisdom for you then.
Yes.
Under the heading of courage, I just noticed. Trifocals, eh? Security is a mostly superstition. Avoiding danger is no safer in the long run than outright exposure. Life is either a daring adventure or nothing. So said writer-lecturer Helen Keller. Something to think about there as we turn to the most relaxing classical album in the world.
This time of day, the sun has already risen.
Yep.
There is no, well, what you would call moonlight out there.
Well, people have to use their imagination now as they listen.
Thank you.
the Moonlight Sonata. Who was tickling the ivories there, Carol?
Dame Moira Limpany.
Right, you are. Actually, for this sonata, Beethoven ignored the classical sonata form, began with the unconventional slow movement. The German critic, Ludwig Rostab, described it as moonlight playing on the tranquil waters of Lake Lucerne and Bingo Bango Bongo. This is the origin of the sonata's popular name. At 6:16, you know what that means, Carol? Counting on you.
6:16 must be radio time.
That's it exactly. If Carol will just step on the chair here, Carol.
Oh, I see. Yes.
I hand you the bamboo pole with the microphone taped
yes,
to
I
it.
Yes, I don't mind.
And just push the above your head there.
Should be breezy up.
It doesn't.
And now the moment we've been waiting for all morning on Morningside. On the line is Henry Lease, who is principal of the Holland Marsh District Christian School. Mr. Lease, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Peter.
Where are you?
Well, I'm sitting in the gym in front of about 320 people here, most of them students.
Yes. Most of them students. Who else is there?
Well, there's some parents here, and there's a few media people here.
Are you going to get your picture in the paper?
I guess. I don't know.
Now, we've been telling this story, touched on it a couple of times through the morning, but there'll be people listening now who don't know it at all, so we should probably just back up a little bit. This goes back to your issue of a challenge to your own students.
That's right. I became principal here in September, and the students asked me, are you going to kiss a pig this year?
Yes.
And I said, well, why? And they explained to me that if they read X number of books, the principal would do something like that.
Last year's principal did.
And she did, yes.
She kissed a pig,
right.
Well, I guess, Mr. Lease, we're at the moment. We've helped. What kind of worm have you got?
Well, actually, Mrs. Hall picked the worm up this morning.
Letty Hall picked the worm up.
She picked the worm up at a bait place and picked two up, one
two?
The backup.
Two? Oh, you got the worm and the backup worm.
That's right.
How big were they at the time?
They were pretty big. They held them up. I don't know. How big were they, the worm? Oh, very big. Very big.
And are you ready? Well, and now what have you done with them?
What have I done with the worms?
What have you done with the worms? Well, I've never had the principal on the carpet before.
Okay, well, look, the worms are right on my plate right now.
Plate?
They're on my plate.
Yes.
Here. They were just served to me by two students.
Served?
Yes, they were served by two students. And they were fried in the gym here.
Fried?
Yes.
Fried worms.
Fried worms.
Yes.
And I'm holding one up now.
Yes. Down the hatch.
And, down the hatch. All right, here it goes. Wow. Tastes all right.
Don't talk with your mouth full.
It's a little chewy, Peter.
have you swallowed it?
No, I'm chewing on it right now.
You got the greatest ovation this program's ever had live.
They're just a great bunch of kids.
Yeah, I could get that worm down.
Well, I'm working on it here. They're a little chewier than I thought.
You're a good sport, and this is really nice.
I think you might run out of time on your program.
That's what's happening. Can you hear our little theme?
Yeah.
Keep chewing.
Okay.
say wave to your students. Tell them they've been a part of a nice moment on Morningside,
okay.
They'll be able to hear me now at about 8:09 to 12 is in Ontario. So that's what you heard yourselves sharing. Henry Lease, congratulations.
Okay, thank you, Peter.
Henry Lease, principal of the Holland Marsh District Christian School in Ontario. Thank you.
kinds of breakfast food, soap, cooking oil, dynamite filler. If I sound a bit corny, that's because Margaret Visser is here to round the week out by talking about this most adaptable of foods. Good morning, Margaret.
Morning, Peter.
Now, I didn't even finish the list of things that corn is in the world, did I?
Oh, it's absolutely, it goes on and on and on the list. I mean, you can make paper out of it. People are doing a lot of research on that, incidentally. You can make laundry starch, candy, drilling mud for oil wells, synthetic rubber. All those things are made out of corn. But that is nothing compared to what the pioneers did. I mean, even the corn cob, the ingenuity with which the Americans have used corn is extraordinary. And the corn cob was used as fuel, and it was used for hair curlers.
Corn cob.
Hair curlers and toilet paper, let us not forget.
Oh, I wouldn't mind forgetting that. And it was used as a stem for corn cob pipes.
Yes, and for insulation, banking up your house for the winter.
Yeah.
And went on. Oh, the list is just enormous, the different ways in which corn has been used in North America.
It's all Canadian, it's all American. Where did it come from? Where does corn pop into our social consciousness?
Oh, pop is the word.
Oh, I never thought of that. Good for me.
Good for you. Well, it was originated in South and Central America. It's an American plant. It was found here by the Europeans when they arrived in America. And the Indians spread it all over the continent from Canada to the tip of South America. And I nearly said it was created in America. And that would have been correct, because there's a sense in which man has produced this plant.
Yeah, well, you said Indians distributed it from it. It really was man-carried, wasn't man, it? A person
not
carried.
Only that, but man-developed. Mm-hmm. I mean, the if man stopped meddling, planting corn and raising corn, it would just die out.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's one of the great mysteries. An enormous amount of work has gone into this, by the way.
It's a tame plant.
It's a tame plant, and we don't know what the Indians did to produce it. I tell you, you see, the thing about it is, a corn cob is covered with a husk, right? That sheath that covers it. And this makes the plant totally unviable, because the seeds can never escape it. It doesn't let the seeds out. So human beings have to do it.
You mean if I just threw one of those unhusked corn cobs on the ground, it would all inertly.
It would lie there inertly. But also, this is extraordinary about corn. If you left it there for 1,000 years, it would still be edible. Popcorn has been found in tombs in Peru, and a donkey went up and ate it because it was good food, and then they popped it and it popped.
You mean a 1,000-year-old corn or more than
1,000-year-old corn, and 10-year-old corn will still germinate with no problem. I suppose Americans were destined to produce long shelf life.
Yes, right.
The corn is just it, you know. But it as you said, if you threw this thing on the ground, it would not germinate. Human beings have to take the corn, take the husk off it, and plant it. Otherwise, this plant would die out.
Well, we've lost our radio waves. Go on forever. I wonder if it's the same CD as last week, don't you know?
The CD player.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I think we'll pause there and say you will have recognized the voice of Peter Zosky.
Sure.
And Margaret Visser has a voice you don't forget either.
Yes, true.
Spent a day with her doing publicity.
We still miss Peter Zosky.
Well, he was born on this day in 1934.
Aww.
Canadian broadcaster and writer, died in 2002. It is 6:25, because I think maybe we'll turn to.
Do you want to play some radio waves?
Well, no, the Free Press, I think.
Oh, okay.
For the book pages. And I see in today's pages, Winnipeg Free Press, review of Fungal by Ariel Gordon, Foraging in the Urban Forest. And picture over there, there she is, out foraging and holding up something in her hand. She's got a knife in her hand, too. So Winnipeg's Ariel Gordon, poet, editor, including copy editor of the Winnipeg Free Press. Essayist, no latecomer to the party, more than 20 years of experience hunting, photographing, writing on mushrooms, culminates in Fungal, wide-ranging set of essays. So a very informed topic and theme, Manitoba-centric focus, though satisfying and often invigorating read, says the reviewer, Jarrett Miskew. So reading Fungal, it becomes easier and more interesting to pay more attention to the outer world, less to the inner. This transmission of the appreciation for nature from author to reader is a particularly high compliment to Gordon's work. That title again, how could you forget? Fungal. No, I'll have to look it up to see if it's in the library, but you could always go to a bookstore and buy a copy, you know, it's new.
Yes.
Which reminds me, the book club right below this on the page, the Free Press Book Club is now doing Manitoba, The Stories Behind the Foods We Eat, by Kimberly Moore and Janice Thiessen, published by the University of Manitoba Press.
Yummy.
So I'm mentioning it now because the next virtual meeting is Tuesday, August 27th, 7 p.m., to discuss Manitoba, The Stories Behind the Foods We Eat. Book club, yes. Information on current and future book picks. You can visit WFP, that's Winnipeg Free Press, of course, WFP.to/bookclub. WFP.to/bookclub. And again, that date, August 27th. And we got the bestsellers as well, etc. Who's won a prize, don't you know? Yes, and I think there was a thriller in there somewhere, too, I wanted to mention, yes.
Hmm.
Well, here we are, new in paper. The heat will kill you first. That's what we're looking for, Carol, in a daylight today. Life and Death on a Scorched Planet by Jeff Goodall. Now in paperback, at least, yes. So you can put a match to it. The way our planet is changing, in particular the rising heat, and how it will impact our way of life and where we live, are examined. And doesn't say pro or con there, but... And as well, I'm looking at big review by Douglas Johnson of author Jeff Rubin. You may remember we interviewed Jeff Rubin for A Map of the New Normal.
Oh,
how inflation, war, and sanctions will change your world forever. And Douglas Johnson says, funny, it's a bit like Dickens, the best of, the worst of. The former CIBC World Markets chief economist's latest is masterful, compelling, and alarming, but it's also wrong and biased. He's so much on economics, he doesn't seem to trust his views on geopolitics, and says, I felt this as well as I remember chatting with him, Rubin doesn't make a hell of a lot of distinction between the Communist Party and democracy. In other words, yes, there are a huge population who are members of the Chinese Communist Party, but I'm not sure how much choice you had if you wanted to get ahead. Having said that, because I just finished reading Tiananmen Square, which I'm reviewing for the Free
novel?
Press. It is a novel, but it's about, really more about coming of age. And so that was an interesting take, I thought, leading up to Tiananmen Square, June 4th, 1989. So big picture of Jeff Rubin. A Map of the New Normal. And again, Douglas Johnson says, despite his economics-focused myopia, Rubin is undeniably charting a future that looks both probable and imminent. You may remember that whole discussion about why do sanctions not work, Just take his political and legal opinions with a grain of salt. So that book reviewed in the book pages of the Winnipeg Free Press today.
I'm Jeff Rubin, author of The Carbon Bubble, and you're listening to CKUW-FM.
There's another one of his earlier books there as well. Mm-hmm. 6:30. Oh, I think we should have a quick look at Mary. From, because we promised, Dear Mary, your problem solved. The pages of the
Spectator
magazine from March 3rd, 2007. Dear Mary, the other day I walked into a local restaurant where I saw two people I actually meet up with each year at a certain house party. They greeted me with yelps of anticipation and asked, was I excited about meeting up again next month? I had to admit that no. I wasn't excited since our host, one of my closest friends, let's call her Janie, who I see three times a week, has not mentioned the gathering this year.
Uh-oh.
I had therefore assumed it was not taking place. My exclusion from the guest list baffled me. But my conscience is clear, so I'm curious, rather than hurt, has there been some sort of misunderstanding between us? How can I get to the bottom of this without going directly to Janie to seek enlightenment, where it might seem as though I were fishing for an invitation, which she clearly does not wish to extend? Signed, R.P. Dorset. An advice from Mary? Arrange for a mutual friend to ring Janie and say something like, Will you be away for your usual house party on the 17th of March, or can you come to supper? When J.D. admits she will be away, the mutual friend can rejoin then. I won't ask R.P., because no doubt she will be staying with you as always. Janie's conscience must be troubled. She would therefore welcome the chance to use a third party as a human ventilator, through whom she can air her real or imaginary grievances against you, or indeed, through whom she can justify her exclusion on perhaps quite innocent grounds. Either way, she will make the revelation confident in the knowledge that will be passed directly onto you. If there's been misunderstandings, you can then take steps to clear them up. Light music. The piece is called Jumping Bean. It is.
He's actually a Canadian composer,
yes,
though, right?
Was, yes, yeah. 6:33. Turner Classic Movie Channel. 3:15 today. Key Largo, the 1948 version. Directed by John Huston, Humphrey Bogart, Lauren Bacall, Edward D. Robinson. Yeah, it's going to be ugly. 7 o'clock. Elmer the Great from 1933. Directed by Mervyn LeRoy, who did an awful lot of comedies. Joe E. Brown. The face you can't forget. Country Hick bats, his way to baseball stardom.
Okay. Yes, yes. You'd be very careful on whether it's bats or bets.
Well, yes, you're in trouble if you will know. 11 o'clock tonight, Noir Alley. The woman on Pier 13, Lorraine Day and Robert Ryan. Yes, looking particularly communist blackmail. Shipping executive into spying, yes. Also on Sunday at 9 a.m. then, of course. It's Noir Alley tonight, 11. Sunday at 7:15. Oh, a documentary, The Automat, from 2023. I mean, you've seen some of this.
Oh.
Documentary focusing on vending machines. So it's got the likes of Mel Brooks, Elliot Gould, I think, is in that as well.
Cool.
Colin Powell, well, there's only one Colin Powell that I know of, and Carl Reiner. That's Sunday at 7:15 in the morning.
Hamburger, lettuce, tomato, mustard, onion, turkey, corned beef,
kaiser. Regular, baby, come on, I gotta go. Two coffees, come on, will you give me a break, give me a break. The trouble with the world today, it's plain to see. It's coffee in a cardboard cup. The trouble with the affluent society is coffee in a cardboard cup. No one's ever casual or nonchalant. No one wastes a minute in a restaurant. No one wants a waitress passing pleasantries like,
hiya, miss.
Hiya, sir, may I take your order, please? The trouble with the world today, it's plain to see, is everything is a hurry up.
It's ready with an instant tea and a minute race and a mile meters.
Coffee! I think she said coffee! I know she said coffee! And a cardboard cup! Hey, what are you doing? See, I'm waiting here for the coffee. What are you, deaf? Come on, get me out of here! The trouble the psychologists have all agreed is coffee in a cardboard cup. Tell me what could possibly be drearier than seafood from the Belknap cafeteria. Seems to me a gentleman would much prefer an afternoon.
Hiya, Ben.
Would you like the special, sir? The trouble with the world today, it's plain to see, is everything is a hurry-up. It's
pressure through, and don't be slow in a BLT on a ride a-going. Coffee! I think she said coffee! I know she said coffee! And a cardboard cup! Hurry up!
Oh, dear. Reminds me, we're going to Stella's, are we, for breakfast?
Yes.
And our waitress name is?
I don't know.
Oh, ho.
I don't know her name.
Because we always...
It should be written on her receipt, maybe.
Good thinking. Neil
if
knows.
If you ever keep...
But, I mean,
he might know, yeah.
We've learned our names of the two. Since the two ladies started using our names at Hildegard's, who aren't open today, by the way. They're all at the folk festival, apparently.
Well, do you know they're off to the folk festival?
All I know is the door is closed. I knocked my fold. I pressed my lips against it. I whimpered silently.
Yeah. Well,
it's tough to do a silent whimper, let me tell you. Mm-hmm. 6 years of. Because they don't open again until Wednesday, I think.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
They'll go to Stella's for breakfast.
But they might be putting in some air conditioning or something. Did you read my email?
Well, they had to.
Well,
the staff is working stripped down there when they fire up the pizza
oven in the
summer.
In the winter, they wear shorts and short sleeves. Yep.
So I was saying, the reason we played that, it put me in mind of the automat. Have you ever go to an automat?
I don't think so, unless we did in New York.
Oh, I know.
But I do know, like, the first full-time job I had, there was the cafeteria. There was not really a cafeteria. It was all automat stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
I found one in Prague.
Okay.
And it was shiny, that long run of shiny metal. And
yes.
Little, you know, you look in the window, et cetera, and you order accordingly and pull it out. Bingo. Got the money.
Mm, right.
That's at 7:15 tomorrow morning, 2 o'clock Sunday on TCM. The Long, Long Trailer, 1954.
Oh.
Directed by Vincent Minnelli. Lucille Ball, Desi Arnaz, Marjorie Main.
Oh, dear.
And she truly was an astonishing physical comedian. The scene when that trailer is bouncing this way and that way, and
yes.
things come out of the cupboards.
Yes, it's great.
Yeah, it's painfully great. 2 p.m. Sunday.
Yes.
Too bad the marriage didn't last better than that.
Yeah.
All right, 7 o'clock, The Killers, 1946, directed by Robert Siodmak. This was Burt Lancaster's first big role, I think. Ava Gardner, Edmund O'Brien, insurance investigator, murdered boxer. Yeah. Well, it's based on the Ernest Hemingway story, The Killer, but I think after the first little opening, it's completely different. Anyways, 4 Academy Award nominations. So there you go. William Conrad is in it, too, who did so much radio. We still listen to him playing Matt Dillon on Gunsmoke on classic radio shows on CJNU. On the weeknights, Sunday to Thursday, anyways, at 10 o'clock.
Right.
When the Gold Eyes aren't playing and bumping them.
Yes.
One other movie note, and I see Kurosawa's epic samurai film still moves like nothing else. Free Press article from July the 6th, so it'll be last Saturday then. 7 Samurai, celebrating its 70th anniversary this year. So... 207-minute epic about a 16th-century farm community that turns to a band of samurai to defend itself from marauding bandits. Now, if that sounds familiar, of course, because it was remade as The Magnificent Seven.
Oh, I see.
So
let's
be honest where it came from. So this summer, timed to the 1954 film's 70th anniversary, a new restoration of Seven Samurai is playing in select theaters across North America beginning next week. That would be this week. There are currently no Winnipeg theaters hosting screenings, but the movie is available to rent on Apple TV.
Okay.
So Kurosawa, the director, also made Rashomon, 1950, Akira, 1952. And as I mentioned, of course, The Magnificent Seven. A lot of fun as well. And in the Free Press, headlined, Kurosawa's Epic. That should bring it up for you from last Saturday, July the 6th. If you haven't thrown that out then. One other movie note, and that is the passing of Shelley Duvall. A face you can't forget. Not an ounce of fat on that lady, I must say. Intrepid movie star, wide-eyed, winsome presence, mainstay in the films of Robert Altman. Co-starred in Stanley Kubrick's The Shining as well. She was 75. Well, let's talk briefly about The Shining. This article from the Free Press as well from July the 12th. It goes into I'm going to leave a lot of this. So Jesse worked with Kubrick, a famous perfectionist, notoriously hard on Duvall during The Shining. His methods of pushing her through countless takes in the most anguished scenes took a toll. One scene was reportedly performed in 127 takes.
Oh, man.
Duvall, in an interview in 1981 with People magazine, said she was crying 12 hours a day for weeks on end during the film's production. "I will never give that much again," she said. "If you want to get into pain and call it art, go ahead. But not with me."
Wow.
So we're going to remember her this morning with Popeye. Remember,
oh,
she played
of course,
olive oil
because, of course. So, like you said, slim and...
One was born to play tall. Olive oil.
Yep.
Opposite...
I can't remember who was
Robert,
in that.
Robin Williams.
Oh, yes, of
course.
Of course
played Popeye.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes, Robin Williams, great.
Your soundtrack for Popeye, songs and music by Harry Nilsson.
Love
and,
Harry.
And Jules Pfeiffer wrote the screenplay.
Oh, of course.
Popeye, but y'all sounded like she needed some spinach, Carol, there. Yeah. By the way, she came to Winnipeg, Shelley Duvall.
Did she?
Disappeared from movies almost as quickly as she arrived. 1990, she began retiring from acting and retreating from public life. One of her rare 90s roles was in Winnipeg director Guy Madden's Twilight of the Ice Nymphs in 1977, in which she played an ostrich farmer.
Excellent.
I shouldn't say that she came to Winnipeg for that.
No, it was the Winnipeg that I saw. He went somewhere else.
In the Winnipeg Free Press from July 12th, it headlined Actress in Unconventional Star at 6:46. Who'd like a laugh?
I can really always do
always
with the
do
laugh.
Always do with a laugh, eh?
Yep.
Well, now we're in for another nostalgic interlude as we welcome Ralph Flinger to our microphone. Ralph is better known to most of you as Mr. I Know Where They Are. Now, he spent a lifetime tracking down old-time celebrities who are no longer in the spotlight. And, Ralph, it's amazing how many of our listeners write in asking your help as they try to locate their favorites of days gone by.
Well, I'm delighted to do whatever I can to help, Ray. You know, sure. I send out more than 100 birthday cards on the average day to washed-up celebrities who've grown a year older. And I know it makes them feel better when I can include a little note that tells them they're still remembered by your listeners.
Well, they certainly are remembered, I'm sure, Ralph. This letter I have here is from a woman in Oregon. Is typical of those that come in addressed to Mr. I Know Where They Are. She says that her girlhood hero was a rich society playboy named Wainbridge Van Cortland. But she hasn't read anything about him now in the paper for years, and she wonders whatever became of him.
Oh, goodness sakes alive. Wainbridge Van Cortland. His grandfather made millions selling defective railroad ties back in the 19th century when the Iron Horse was first spanning the country.
And tying it together into one great nation, you mean?
Yes, except on the lines where old man Van Cortland had provided the railroad ties. The wood in most of them was infested with termites, so that caused the locomotives to tip over before they had a chance to tie this country together into one great nation.
I see. But, of course, Wainbridge Van Cortland wasn't responsible for any of that.
No. That swindle of his grandfather's happened long before his time. About the worst thing Wainbridge ever did was ride down Wall Street during the Depression on one of his polo ponies.
Uh-oh.
Several former stockbrokers were kicked as they stood on the sidewalk trying to sell apples.
Yeah.
But later, Wainbridge gave them each a dollar to show that it was nothing personal.
Well, it sounds as if the man was a decent sort of a fellow that any young girl might have worshipped from afar. But where is he now?
Well, Wainbridge lost everything during the war, Ray. He'd invested the family fortune in buying a South Pacific island, but the Japanese managed to sink it some way. I think they just let the air out underneath it and it fell. Anyway, Wainbridge now lives in a small furnished room across the street from the bus station in St. Louis. He supports himself by raising goldfish and selling them to his neighbors.
Well, that's... That's quite a come down for a millionaire playboy, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
But at least you've answered the lady's question. Our next letter, addressed to Mr. I Know Where They Are, is from a man in Utah. He remembers a famous rodeo rider of years ago named Tumbleweed Gargan. And he wonders if you happen to know where Tumbleweed is.
Well, indeed, I do know where Tumbleweed Gargan is. I think he was a hero of every young fellow who grew up in the West, Ray. He used to rope wild bison before that rodeo event was outlawed by most state legislatures.
Well, that's very interesting. Where's Tumbleweed now?
Well, I don't think they ever officially outlawed bison roping in Montana, but since the event had been dropped from rodeos in other states, it gradually died out there, too.
I see. Well, what about Tumbleweed Gargan?
A lot of people claim that bison roping constituted cruelty to animals. I don't know why they still have calf roping in rodeos, and calves are similar to bison, except that they're not as woolly.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Where is Tumbleweed Gargan now?
He's in Fort Worth, Texas.
Well, is that all?
Yes, as far as I know.
Well, I guess that takes care of that. I think we have time, looking at the clock here, for one more quick question addressed to Mr. I Know Where They Are. It's from a woman in Virginia. And she's wondering about a former child movie star named Fat Baby Marksford. She thinks he was a member of the group that called themselves the Little Cut-Ups.
Oh, yes. Not people remember that. Not many people do. But Fat Baby Marksford was one of the original Little Cut-Ups. He was later replaced, I believe, by Pinky Luling. Studio had to drop Fat Baby around 1927 because he stopped being a baby, even though he did manage to remain fat.
Well, that should give the listener who wrote in a lot of good background information. But what she really wanted to know is what became of Fat Baby Marksville?
Well, he's now the president of a large corporation in Palo Alto, California that deals in computer software, Ray. And I think that's really quite a tribute to his ability. Imagine it's quite difficult for a middle-aged man to get to the top in the business world when his name is Fat Baby Moxford.
Yes, I'm sure he'd have to put forth extra effort to prove that he had what it took, particularly in computer software. So just let me thank you for answering the lady's question and also those of our other listeners.
Oh, I was delighted to do it, Ray. Chatting about all these old people helps keep me young. Goodbye.
Bye. Say, friends, have you checked your household flypaper lately to make sure it's retaining its full stick'em quality? Even the finest brands tend to dry out after hanging indoors for a few years.
Hi, this is Bob and Ray reminding you that dry flypaper is a useless weapon in your battle against swarming insects. So replace your old dead flypaper today with Einbinders, the brand you've gradually grown to trust over the course of three generations.
Bob and Ray for you there from the best of Bob and Ray at 6:52. We know you out there who we love Bob and Ray too. Yes,
yes.
Can't go wrong.
Yes,
6:52 here on the show.
I'm Sally Vaughan Johnston, author of The Best of Bridge Slow Cooker Cookbook, and you're listening to CKUW FM.
Thank you. I'm also looking at, I got this at a charity shop find, music, brackets, makes the world go round, dance bands from Canada, 1922 to 1930.
Oh,
I'm sure that Bob and Rick could have fun with this. Presented by the Canadian Antique Phonograph Society. Joining us today, you can see it coming, can't you?
Yes.
So who we have, what we have is Monroe's Jardin de Danse Orchestra and the Melody Kings Dance Orchestra. So we're back, we're in Montreal here, I think. As I say, in the 1920s, Montreal music scene. In particular for Mr. Monroe, his composition, When My Baby Smiles at Me, recorded in 1920 by bandleader Ted Lewis. That was a big noise as well. And so, you can't go wrong. You call yourself Canada's premier dance orchestra. They are to Canada what Paul Whiteman is to New York. I wish I'd written that. Well, here they are. With, was it 10 little fingers? Yes, and 10 little toes.
Thank you.
very derivative there, I would say. Andy Tipaldi on banjo, you could see back then. Well, the banjo can cut through anything, can't it? And sound can be reached at the back of the hall.
Yes.
Ten Little Fingers, Ten Little Toes, 1923 there. Wow. From the CD, Music Makes the World Go Round, 656. Carol McKibben, have you been looking at the jumble at all?
I have been looking at the jumble.
J-U-M-B-L-E, Free Press.
How much coffee have you had?
Oh, not a lot. I'm more having cough candies and
you
pills.
You should be having hot lemon.
Well, there seems to be two of you at the moment over there.
Oh, you're in big trouble. Okay, this one should be not too difficult.
That's what we're looking for.
Okay. L-D-A-S-A.
Salad.
Yes.
Always good for you. Eat your arts and vegetables, boys and girls. That's it exactly.
Well, also, yes, but Eat Your Arts and Vegetables is on Thursday afternoons 5:30. At 5:30.
Right after Pages, Radio for Readers.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the library. We sometimes have an author, et cetera, et cetera. A little,
play music.
Maybe play music and maybe a poem. So on the stage, July 13th, 1568, the Dean of St. Paul's, London, Alexander Noel.
Yes.
Noel, actually,
what
I suppose
year?
It is. That's 1568, those of you keeping track at home, perfects a way to bottle beer.
Oh.
That's no wonder he's remembered. There should be a plaque there or something, or maybe a statue.
Yes.
My father used to say we want more beer, better beer, and bigger bottles, I think is what he used to say.
He should go to Quebec.
Yes. Also on this day, 1956, Elvis, RCA, releases Hound Dog, I think. Whether these are on opposite sides, I don't know. And this.
You know I can be found sitting home all alone. If you can't come around, at least please tell the phone. Don't be cruel to who heart is true. Baby, if I made you mad for something I might have said, please don't forget my past. The future looks bright ahead. Don't be cruel to who heart is true. I don't want no other love, baby, it's just you I'm thinking of. Don't stop thinking of me. Don't make me feel this way. Come on over here and love me. You know what I want you to say. Don't be cruel to who heart is true. Why should we be apart? I really love you, baby. Cross my heart. Let's walk up to the preacher and let's say I do. Then you'll know you'll have me, and I know that I'll have you. Don't be cruel to who heart is true. I don't want no other love, oh baby,